come here this morning to hear from you. We come here this morning, Lord, to ask, Lord, for your grace and your forgiveness. We ask for your Spirit to fill this place and to fill us, Lord, for your Spirit is like water to our souls. And apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. So we desperately need you in these days that we live, in this world that we live in, and we need your strength, Lord. So we just ask, God, that you would open our eyes to your word today, that you would teach us what the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be talking a lot about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit a lot. And there is also a lizard running around underneath your feet somewhere. So if I hear someone scream, he came in today and he went back outside and then we saw him come back in. So if you feel anything crawling on your leg, that's a lizard. It's not the Holy Spirit. I hope you guys pay attention now to the sermon and not look for the lizard, but I thought I'd just share that with you. All creation praises the Lord, so maybe he's here to repent. Who knows? Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 16. This book of Galatians was written to believers, to Christ followers, by the Apostle Paul. Everyone who he is speaking to in this book has heard the gospel, has received the Holy Spirit. They had a transformed lives. They were walking in the Spirit. And they were enjoying the fullness of life in Christ. And then some false teachers crept in. The same way we have false teachers creeping in today, just different kinds. I mean, we are continually bombarded. Our children are bombarded. We are bombarded by the news, billboards, banners, podcasts, you name it, of someone trying to teach you something contrary to the scriptures. From the morning when we wake, from the minute we wake up till we go to bed, we're bombarded with these things. And they were as well. And these false teachers informed the believers there that it's absolutely ridiculous that you can just place your faith in Christ and you now have salvation. And it was absurd to them. So that was their false teaching, that you still needed to do the works. You still needed to do the festivals, the ceremonies, circumcisions, cleansings, and certain things in order for you to actually be saved. In other words, you need to stay under the Mosaic law and not be free in Christ. So they brought this legalism in, saying that it's required for salvation. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, you could probably see it right there. Paul tells them, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" In other words, who has placed a spell on you? Verse 2 of chapter 3, Paul asks, "Is this alone I want to learn from you?" In other words, he's saying, I want to know this. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3, chapter 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfected by the flesh? You see, they were deceived into thinking that they were going to spiritually grow by doing this and doing this, and that's how they're going to grow in the Lord, by operating and doing all kinds of works. And so later on in Galatians 5, he's going to talk about the works of the flesh. Just giving a little introduction here. So the first four chapters are dealing with the effect of legalism and salvation. And he demonstrates that salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ and nothing else. If we are in here thinking that we're going to get into heaven by anything else, we are deceived and we are like these Galatians. It's not of any works. Are we so foolish to think that God has given us the greatest gift and he said it is finished on the cross and that we can add to it? in our own human works. Chapter 3, verse 6, that says Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness by his belief. So chapter 5 here, he starts off by saying, stand fast. If you look at chapter 5, verse 1, in the liberty by which Christ has set us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, to stand fast takes an effort on our part. It's easier to say, just trust in the Lord, brother. It's easy to say, walk in the Spirit. It's easy to say these things, but it takes effort on our part. Would you agree? That's why I titled the message, The Struggle is Real. Because if you're in here and you are walking as a Christian and you don't have any struggle, there's something wrong. We should have a genuine struggle to live a holy life and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have a struggle with the world that we're living in, attached to these flesh bodies, there's an issue. Either there is no spirit fighting the flesh and it's all your dead spirit and you've never been rejuvenated and reborn again, and you have no struggle, everything is okay. Or you have been born again and you're living in a wicked world surrounded by wickedness, and your flesh and the devil are great friends. They have a good internal texting communication system set up. And you know what? It's not an evil thing, that flesh. We have certain desires, like we need to drink water. That's our flesh needs water, you know. We need to eat. We need to breathe. However, us as the human nature to corrupt those fleshly desires. So, chapter 5, verse 4, he jumps back into it and he drills his point home, if you want to read it. He says, you have been estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a very scary verse. To be fallen from grace. The legalistic way of operating instead of being filled with the Spirit and operating in the Spirit. Let's look at verse 16, chapter 5. It says, I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Holy Spirit, church, is the most, I would say, neglected person of the Godhead. At times within the church, it's the most abused person of the Godhead. The most misunderstood person. We have many songs towards the Father and towards the Son, but however, we kind of, don't treat the Holy Spirit as if he is a person and a member of the Godhead sometimes. Here he says that we need to walk in the Spirit. This word is found all throughout Scripture, and it's an expression of our sanctification. When we give our life to Christ, he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and then it's a walk. It's a day-by-day thing. When I got saved 12 or 13 years ago, I'm not doing the same things that I did 10 and 8 and 7 and so forth. It's a continual walking process. The Bible says that we are to walk in unity, walk in purity, contentment, faith, knowledge, truth. We are to walk in separation from the world. Notice it says walk, not run ahead of, not slouch back behind the Spirit or run ahead of the Spirit, but to walk with the Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, you don't need to turn there. I'm going to have a lot of cross-references. If you're taking notes, you could write them down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, the prophecies never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here through Paul telling us that the only way that we're going to wage war against the desires of the flesh is by walking with the Spirit. Walking with the Spirit. And a lot of the times, church, we, myself included, we kind of deceive ourselves into thinking, because we are not on drugs or in a, drinking every day that, okay, we're good. That's a part of the works in itself. We deceive ourselves into thinking that we're going to start this ministry, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. That's works in itself as well. That's works of the flesh, if it's not in the spirit. And a lot of the times we can do and be really busy in our own minds thinking that we're doing something for the Lord, but the spirit has never been a part of it. And it's a very scary thing, and it's a very serious thing for us to understand. And the Spirit will always, always bring glory to the Lord. Always. The flesh will always bring glory to itself. The Spirit, if it's a work of the Spirit, will always draw you to prayer, draw you to the Word of God. The flesh will draw you into a busy mode of doing stuff. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right, or some translations say good to man, but the end is the way of death. I'm sure Eve, when she was looking at that tree, she said it looked good to her eyes, pleasant for food. I'm going to do something good, and I'm going to get a piece of that fruit, and I'm going to bring it to my husband, and we're going to eat of it. The end is the way of death. So a lot of the times we can think that we're doing things, but really, are we walking with the Spirit? Is the all-important question. If we're not walking with the Spirit, church, we are deceiving ourselves, and we're not bringing any glory to the Lord. And, you know, I've often asked myself, Lord, is this of you? Lord, are you in this? Lord, should I do this or should I do that? And the Holy Spirit will always answer. He always does. As the Holy Spirit is most important in our Christian life, because that's when Jesus left. He said, I leave you a helper. I leave you a comforter. Job chapter 33, verse 4, talking about the Spirit, says it's the breath of life, the breath of the Almighty. Hebrews 9:14 calls the Holy Spirit the eternal Spirit. Psalm 51:12 says he is the generous Spirit. Are you generous? Psalm 143, verse 10 says the good Spirit. Ephesians 1 and 4 and Psalm 51:11 says he is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of the living God. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ, called in Scripture. He is the Spirit of life, called in Scripture. The Scripture also says he is the Spirit of the Son. Hebrews says he is the Spirit of grace. Isaiah says he is the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, and knowledge, and understanding. John 14 says he is the Comforter and the Spirit of truth. So would you say that the Holy Spirit is very important and needed, and he is to be treated as God because he is God? In order for us to ever be sanctified and to ever walk a holy life, 2 Corinthians says that it is the Spirit who transforms us by glory to glory into the image of Christ. We will never get to the image of Christ without operating in the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 and 18. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Being led by the Spirit, another few things too. It was the Spirit of God that hovered over a void earth and created it. It was the Spirit, the breath of life, that he breathed into Adam and he became a living being. So here this Spirit is also given to us when we become followers of Christ and we ask for forgiveness of our sins and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us this helper. He gives us the Holy Spirit in order for us not to do the things that we wish. The flesh is continually lusting and the struggle is real. And the Holy Spirit and the flesh have, these two have two completely separate appetites. This one doesn't want to do anything this one wants to do, and this one doesn't want to do anything this one wants to do. They war against each other. And I know that sounds maybe like a bad thing, that the struggle is real, you know, it's struggle. No, but it's actually a good thing if you're experiencing this, because that's a sure sign that you do have the Spirit of God living in you. It's a battle. Would you agree, church, to live a holy life? It's a battle, a daily, minutely, hourly battle to not get in the flesh. The flesh is always with you. He doesn't have to come from around the corner or a different room. He's right in you, okay? He can just be drawn up and woke up just like that. And it can happen in a second. When someone cuts you off, as Joe would say, on the highway, you know? A Christian is going to battle, and your flesh and is going to battle against what the Lord wants to do in your life. Acts chapter 1, verse 18 says, Jesus said that you shall receive power of the Holy Spirit. And so often we receive this power, and then we have that struggle, and I'll tell you, someone's winning, and whoever's winning is going to be winning on a regular basis until repentance takes place. 2 Peter says it's better off that we would have never received the Holy Spirit and this, the work, salvation, than to receive the Holy Spirit and to go and live in the world again. It's like a sow who returns to wallow, who's been cleansed and returns to wallow. Like the proverb says, it's like a dog who returns to his vomit when we as Christians operate and work in the flesh. You know, pigs are dirty animals. They like to be dirty. They crave it. You'll never... Also, sheep like to be clean. Sheep, we're called to be sheep. I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep digging in a garbage can or laying in mud. Raven, when Noah... When the waters were receding, he sent out what bird first? A raven. If you look around here, you'll probably find a raven out there eating a Snickers bar wrapper. They're everywhere. And they tear open garbage cans and garbage bags, and they eat anything. But then the second one he sent out was what? A dove. A clean bird. So we are to be not like the dog that returns to his vomit, not like the pig who has been cleansed and jumps in the mud. Not like the raven, but like the sheep and like the dove, and yearn for that which is clean and yearn for that which is pure. I want to make a note, too, that the Christian cannot just simply wake up and have this battle and have his own works to do it. I'll give you an example of what some people have sent me before in order for me to start my day. They send me some type of podcast. I'm not joking. You guys have probably heard some stuff like this. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, the podcast says. I crack 5 yolks in my mouth, eggs. I do a cold plunge. I read 5 books before 5 a.m. I meditate for 30 minutes. I jump back into the cold plunge, you know, and they have all these things before 6 o'clock. I mean, that thing is boosting your flesh to the max, right? All these different things and podcasts and shows and whatever the case, how we're supposed to start our day. Are you serious? I'm trying to just get up and live right with the Lord. I'm trying to get my feet on the ground and be walking. I need to do one thing and walk in the Spirit, okay? I'm not a fan of cold plunges or cold water in the first place. I'm sure it has good reasons, but the whole idea behind it is to do all these types of works to get your body and your flesh in the right zone for the day. And those things can be manifested, and if you let the flesh go, it will manifest itself into a factory line. And it'll crank out new ways and new things, fleshly things. Before I came to Christ, I was that factory line, a flesh operating, flesh factory line. I created things to do that were evil. I thought of things to do that were evil from the morning I woke up till I went to sleep. And the flesh and my desires took me to places that I never wanted to go, to see and do things that I never wanted to do. And the flesh will draw you there. The flesh will defile you when you operate in these works of the flesh. And since Christ has set me free, I'm free indeed. However, that does not mean that the flesh is not with us. And we need to battle every day, church. Verse 18, but if you are led by this Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, it's not a work, legalistic type of relationship that we have with God. And this is very huge that Paul says this, because Paul, if you know, before he was Paul, he was a part of a law enforcement, okay? He was the law. So in order for, when Paul says this stuff, it's huge for him to be saying, get out from underneath that law. In chapter 3, verse 10, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. He says that if you are under the law, you are under a curse. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, if you are under the law, you are under the dominance of sin. Chapter 3, verse 23 says that the law keeps you a prisoner in custody. Chapter 3, verse 25 says it's a tutor. Chapter 4, verse 2 says it's just like a guardian and a manager. Chapter 4, verse 5 says that we need to be redeemed out of slavery of the law. Chapter 4, verse 21, he finally says this, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And then he goes into chapter 5, we need to be free in Christ. And this battle between the unredeemed flesh and the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, and someone is going to win. And at the same time, it's important that we understand ourselves, church, that we understand our flesh and that we know who we are. Because a lot of the times we can think that we're something when we're nothing. A lot of the times we could think we're doing X, Y, and Z and all these things. And all those works one day are going to be put into a pile and burnt up, the scripture says. The solution is not to muster up our own strength to do anything. The solution is to bow down before the Lord and surrender to the Spirit. This is the only solution, to bow down, surrender all your life, your will, your goals, your relationships to the Spirit. I can offer you a guarantee almost that if anyone in here in your own time, or even now, the Holy Spirit is not like where he has to work on one person in a certain setting. You ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to be getting rid of? Who do I need to not be talking to? What do I need to quit drinking? What do I need to quit watching? He will answer you every time and pretty fast. He doesn't need to research any answers. Okay? The Spirit will say, go ask for forgiveness. Your flesh will say, she started it, right? I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. Let her ask for forgiveness. That's what the flesh will say. The Spirit will tell you, hey, maybe you should read the Bible to your wife or to yourself. But the flesh will say, hey, why don't you check your Instagram or watch some show? So you see this war. The Spirit will tell you, hey, maybe you should start serving the Lord. The Spirit will tell you that. Yeah, your flesh will say, they got it under control. It looks fine to me. I'm just going to come and go. The Spirit will tell you who to be friends with and who not to be friends with. If you're young in here and you're courting someone, the Spirit will tell you very fast if that person is the one that you need to be cemented together to in holy matrimony. He'll tell you very fast, this is the one or this is not the one. But at the same time, what happens is that we never ask these questions because we are not familiarized with the Holy Person of the Holy Spirit, and we have not cultivated a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, it seems like we're talking to a stranger, and you guys, I mean, I don't like just sparking a conversation with a stranger. Sometimes, you know, it's hard, but if you don't have that relationship cultivated with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a little bit awkward, and we have the wrong idea of who the Spirit is. Do you know that 6 or 7 million copies, there was a book written, Heaven is for Real? This book was written, it sold 6 or 7 million copies in 9 months, movies and everything. Little boy died, went to heaven, said that the Holy Spirit was some kind of blue ghost-like object, and he would shoot down shots to heaven and stuff, or from heaven. That's not the Holy Spirit. So we have these different ideas, and the world has been pumped with the different ideas of who the Holy Spirit is. So when you do ask the Holy Spirit those questions in your life, and the Holy Spirit tells you the answers to those questions, this is where the sanctification starts taking place. When you do that or when you don't do that. When you do that, you become sanctified and transformed into the image of Christ. When you don't do that, your conscience becomes seared, and that voice becomes pushed away more, and it actually grieves the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit by not listening to him. Don't do it, don't do it, and then your conscience becomes seared. You don't even feel the pricking anymore. You don't feel the alarm system of the Holy Spirit anymore. And that's what gets us into a different downhill slope, transforming into the image of that which is not like Christ. But church, I beg you, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. If you hear the Holy Spirit telling you today what to do, do not harden your heart. If you're in here and you, the Holy Spirit also testifies to whether you are saved or not, to whether you are of the Lord's, because the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. The Bible says that it adopts us. It's the spirit of adoption. And you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. You can ask the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit might be telling you already. And he'll tell you if you're a child of God or not. There is no time to play works. There's no time to play church. There's no time to play religion. There's no time to mess around, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We need to walk and operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way. I mean, look at the apostles. Look what they did. Fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit's job to draw us to repentance. It's the Spirit who drew everyone in here who's saved. It's the Spirit of God that got us saved by drawing us to repentance. And I know there's some of us in here or watching on YouTube that have been prompted to receive the Lord and never have. And that's when the flesh jumps in and said, yeah, that would look ridiculous. You've been coming here for 20 years already. You've been coming here for 2 years already. You're going to stand up now? You're going to lose all your credibility, dude. Right? People think you're holy already. What are you going to do if they stand up and they figure out, you weren't saved this whole time? No, let me tell you something. That brings the greatest joy to any believer when someone stands up. The greatest joy when someone receives the Holy Spirit. Oh, but you've been coming here, you serve, you pass out, you know, bulletins, you do this, you do that. You even tithe. You don't need to stand up. That bulletins and those tithes, they mean nothing if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Nothing. Moving on from that one. That's another line from Pastor Joe, too. I'm going to move on from that one. At the end of the day, the Spirit always glorifies God, always. Romans chapter 6 says, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The flesh wants you to stay underneath that law. The flesh wants you to stay fine how you are. You know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't hang out with people that do. I'm going to heaven. That's not how it works. The flesh wants you to stay in that bondage. When Cain killed Abel, the Lord came to Abel, said, "Where is your brother? I hear the voice of his blood crying from the ground." Abel said, or Cain said, I don't know, pretty much, "Who am I, my brother's keeper?" After that, the Lord told Cain, look at the threshold of the door, for sin is lying at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. If you can just picture no animal could compare to what sin can do to you, but picture like a big angry gorilla or like a lion or something. Its desire is to eat you up. Sin's desire is to take you over. But by walking in the Spirit, he can rule over it. It's not a strange thing for us to have this struggle. Paul had this struggle in Romans chapter 7. For the things that I want to do, I do not do. The things I do not do, I want to do. You know, he had that same internal struggle with him as within himself as well. So if the Apostle Paul had it, we should as well. Let's go through the works of the flesh here. Here's where we're going to see if, and it's not an exhaustive list either, but it's pretty it's pretty detailed. Paul just finished now speaking about how there's a battle going on, and we're going to overcome the flesh by walking in the Spirit, which is easier said than done, but is very possible. Even though all these works that we're about to read are a huge struggle, some of them are going to be like, no, I don't do that. Some of them are going to be like, maybe I do that. The struggle always happens, if, I don't know if you guys can attest, in your brain, in your mind, and in your heart. You start thinking stuff, and then it works its way out. These works are evident. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Go back up to the first one, adultery. Adultery is illicit sexual relations between married people. Don't need to expound on that. Fornication is where we get our word porneia from, which is where we get our word porn from. Any illicit sexual acts between unmarried people or married people. Uncleanness means just that, a filthy mind, filthy heart. Everything that we do, we try to think of a filthy way or dirty way, something to do to it. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and their conscience are defiled. Let's move on to the next one, lewdness. Lewdness is like, aka, or debauchery, is an appetite that has no shame. Look around us, folks, an appetite that has no shame at all. This is a work of the flesh. You know, you can do whatever you want. You can marry whatever you want. If your body's a certain way and you don't like it that way, you can cut something off. You could add something to it. You could marry this person. You could marry that person. 10 years ago, I said one day people are going to be marrying animals, and I think someone did marry an animal. They married their dog or something. You could do anything you want. Yeah. That's what's called lewd acts. You can walk around and go to certain places and see these things, and they're all around us. They're actually right in your palm of your hand. If everywhere you go and everywhere you turn, you can see lewd acts. Idolatry is putting something or someone, the next one, idolatry, putting something or someone ahead of God. Putting something or someone ahead of God. When what happens is we give our life to Christ, He takes up residency within our heart, He establishes His throne on our heart, and we are Christians. But our flesh is still there, and it battles for that place. It wants you to put something else in that part. I don't know what that is as far as each individually. I mean, it could be work, it could be our bank accounts, our stocks, our 401ks, our golf game, football, sports, girlfriend, boyfriend, him, her. The list goes on. You know, we're called to worship the Lord, to love people, and to use things. But we have switched those things around and kicked God completely out of it. We use people, we love ourselves, and we worship things. That's operating in the flesh, leaving God completely out of it. The next one, take a look. We're going to get through these and we'll get to the fruit of the Spirit here, I promise. Sorcery, a.k.a. witchcraft, a.k.a. pharmakia. The Greek word pharmakia is where we get our word pharmacies from. We have pharmacies on every corner. Every corner almost you'll find a pharmacy. And you can, anybody these days could find any doctor to prescribe anything they want for anything they need. It's not that hard. You could go online and do it. I'm not telling you to do that, but a lot of people have done that, and they have numbed themselves down with certain medications. I'm not saying anything about any medications. I want you to be clear regarding heart meds or cholesterol meds or whatever the case is. But for 90% of the things that come out of pharmacies are meant for a certain way. And this isn't nothing new. They mixed up stuff and drank stuff and smoked stuff. Nothing new underneath the sun. In Paul's day, different festivals, different magicians, different tricks and this and that. Pharmakia, sorcery. I've seen it firsthand. People, I mean, working in the medical field, they got hooked on some kind of thing that they did or did not need. Now, they will beat up a pharmacist. They'll come jump over that counter to get something. And it's quite scary. Look at the next one. Hatred. This word literally means enmity. This is the attitude of mind, that defies every challenge and challenges everything. Which leads you to the next one, contentions, which is strife. This is the outworking of hatred. These are all fleshly works. Next one, jealousies or rivalries. This is when Christians operate in the flesh and they compete with other Christians and they try to make other Christians look bad so they can look better. And, you know, they're jealous of this, so they do this, and jealous of that. It's quite sad. That's operating in the flesh. Next one, outbursts of wrath. This is lashing out all the time. You're quick to lash out because you didn't get ketchup at In-N-Out when you asked him for it. I say that because I've done that. I'm not just making it up. I have the flesh and how many times did I ask him for ketchup? How come there's no ketchup in the bag, you know? I'm going back there, right? My wife, she says, it's just a sandwich, just eat it, okay? Just eat your burger. Put hot sauce on it, you know? Outbursts of wrath when someone cuts you off or when you don't get your way or when you don't get that promotion or you don't get this and you feel like you deserve something and you didn't get it, you can outburst and get crazy. This can happen a lot in marriage and in relationships and in work environment. You can outburst of wrath. Next one is selfish ambitions. This is when the person wakes up and they're continually thinking about themselves. You don't need to expound on that too much. Everything that they do is for themselves. They don't ever do anything for anybody else. Everything is for me, me, me. Next one, dissensions and heresies can be grouped together. They both have to do with making someone choose a side. That word heresies means to make a choice. You know, what are you? You're Democrat, I'm Republican, I'm this, I'm that. You're Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert, I'm Calvary Chapel, this church, I'm that church. Right? These types of dissensions, that's working in the flesh. Envy is when, the next one, is when you desire what another person has. You don't want them to have it. You don't like that they have it. You feel that you deserve that more than they do. So you envy it. They don't deserve that, right? How come they get this and I don't get that? Envy. Proverbs 14:30 says that a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is like rottenness to the bones. When we envy what other people have, your bones rot. Murders. Don't need to expound too much on that one. Drunkenness, revelries, these are social sins usually done with other people that lead to things and other things. Now, I'm not bashing anyone if anyone's here from Coachella, you know, Coachella Fest. But ask yourself this. Don't ask yourself this. Ask the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit want me to go to Coachella Fest? Don't get me wrong. If I wasn't walking with the Lord, I would be out there breathing and sniffing all kinds of stuff, including the dirt. If I wasn't walking with the Lord and I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me that doesn't let me do the things that I wish, I'm just being honest with you, I would do anything. But thanks be to God that we have the Holy Spirit, and He doesn't let us do the things we wish. Look at the last part of the works of the flesh there. He says, and the like. In other words, this is not an exhaustive list. If you are doing something, or I'm doing something, and it's not in this list, it doesn't mean it's not of the flesh, right? Oh, they didn't say that. That means I could. And the things alike, which covers, ask the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you if it's the work of the flesh or not. Like I said from the beginning, the works of the flesh are evident, but also the fruit of the Spirit is evident. It's very easy to see the works of the flesh and to see the works of this, the fruit of the Spirit. Right there in that verse 2, he says, of which I told you beforehand. This isn't the first time that Paul has told the Galatians this. Look at the next part. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those who practice these things that I just listed and the like, if you're practicing these things habitually, you're going to hell, is what it's saying. There's the kingdom of heaven, and then there's hell. There's no purgatory or place in between where one is held. You're either going to one place or the other. If you're doing this thing on these things on a regular basis, repent. Repent. This is not talking about, oh, I messed up and did this. It's not talking about now I'm going to go to hell now because I did one of those things in the flesh list. This is talking about a habitual practicing of it and a non-repenting of it. So we are not underneath the law. We are not underneath the law as stated in Galatians, but we are under grace. Grace. if anything, because we are under grace and the grace of the Lord, it should give us the encouragement to be obedient and to turn from our sins, to turn from our wicked ways. This is called sanctification. This is called holiness. Our entire life here on earth is a process of sanctification. Struggling to drop habits, struggling to drop this or drop that, and continually trying to walk in the Spirit. But one day when we get glorified, we are not going to have to struggle anymore. There is going to be no struggle with sin in heaven. Praise God for that. So here we saw the works of the flesh. Now we're going to see the works or the fruit of the Spirit. You can see that there's works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. There's a huge contrast between the two. Works, if you think about works, you think about toil, you think about labor, you think about you have to work, you have to do something in order to operate that work of the flesh. But when you think about fruit, you think about growth, you think about life. I mean, I love fruit, all kinds of fruit. I eat all kinds of fruit. I like looking at fruit. I like growing fruit. So when you think about fruit, it's a complete different thought than when you think about works. And the Holy Spirit is the only thing that's going, the only person, excuse me, forgive me, the only person who is going to draw these fruits within us. A few things that I want to just share real quick. We're almost done, a couple hours left. The New Testament and what it says about the Holy Spirit. We already went over a lot of what the Holy Spirit verses, but there's plenty more. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. So it pricks at us and it tells us you're sinning. That's how we get saved. It convicts the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Romans 8 says that the Spirit adopts us and it takes up residence within us. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 also says that the same Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Here in Galatians 5, the Holy Spirit produces fruit. When someone is underneath the control of the Holy Spirit is when they are operating and acting like Christ. When someone is underneath the control of the Holy Spirit, that is when they're operating like Christ. It's not our job to pretend to act like Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's job to transform us into that image. Let's take a look at Christ for a moment. It's important to see this because us in here are Christ followers, and Christ, from the tomb to the womb to the cross, was inseparable from the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Philippians says that he emptied himself and submitted his will to the will of the Father. Or you just, you know, sometimes we think, oh, his name's Jesus. He could do it. He did it because he's Jesus, right? Like the kids in the youth class. Any answer you ask him, Jesus. You could ask him anything, Jesus, right? It's the answer to everything. Jesus is the answer to everything. Well, yeah, can Jesus do everything? Now he can. Now, yeah. But the reason why he did the things he did was because he was operating and relying on the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit did through him. He relied on the Spirit 100% of the time, not 95, not 99, 100% of the time. So Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, said, you're going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. She said, what are you talking about? I haven't known a man. He said, what? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. So from the beginning, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. Then later on, you could see that he grew in wisdom and stature and knowledge and gained favor with the Lord. Do you think he just grew that way just because the Holy Spirit was with him? Later on, when he was teaching, he was accused by the Pharisees, saying that you do these works in the power of Satan. Jesus answered unto them, he said, you've just blasphemed the Spirit, my friend, because the works that I'm doing are the Spirit's works, and you're calling that spirit a satanic spirit, blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. After Jesus was baptized, he started his ministry, of course. He was led into the wilderness. He didn't just go for a walk into the wilderness. Do you know who led him into the wilderness? It says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Why did the Spirit lead him into the wilderness? To be tempted. And he had victory and conquered through the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, showing us an example. Luke chapter 4 says that he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit in power. And lastly, I'll just share with you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, read that again, through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot of God, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And when Jesus was going to the cross, when Jesus was shedding his blood, and the whole entire way it was the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 22 and 23. We've got 10 minutes. All right. Well, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the first fruit here is love. This is identical agape love. This is what's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the one that is sacrificial love, the love that lays down itself for the others. When someone lays down their self for others, it always brings joy, which is the next fruit, joy. This is inward peace, inward contentment. You're sufficient with what God has given you, and you're not affected by outward circumstances. You have the joy of the Lord that Paul also talked about in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Love, joy, and when you add those together, you have peace. The peace of God that Philippians also says that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These first three fruits should be evident in our lives. They should be evident in our lives that we have love for others, that we have the joy of the Lord, and that we have peace. If you're walking around without love, joy, or peace, and you're trying to win people to Christ, it's not going to work. Grumpy all the time, right? Angry all the time. Not content with the way things happened all the time. Always complaining all the time. Look at the next one, long-suffering. Long-suffering is endurance. You don't quit. You keep struggling. You keep battling. Kindness is the next one, along with gentleness. These are things that we should be known for, kindness and gentleness. Jesus said he is meek and lowly. He is gentle and lowly of heart. Goodness. Goodness is when love is in action and you operate in love. You have no choice. It's like you have to do good to others. You have to. And that's your goal, to be good to others and gentle to others. The next one is self-control. Self-control is that you have a good temperament. You can control. This is a fruit of the Spirit, being able to control, self-control. Against such there is no law. No law, no works is going to produce these. There is a counterfeit way where you can pretend and deceive yourself into thinking, like put a smile on your face and, you know, do the whole Christianese thing. But internally, you know, this is not real joy. This is not real peace. This is not real love. It's possible to be counterfeit, but let me tell you, the fruit will always be tested. I don't know if you had a dad like me, but walking through a grocery store, we eat all the fruit. We test it all, poke it, look at it, right? Take a few bites. See if it's ready. Looking back on it, yes, that's stealing now. You know? When it's true fruit, it will always bring glory to God, church. I'm a planter. I'm like a plant addict. A different type of plant nowadays. Okay? I'm obsessed with growing stuff, planting stuff. I'll put a seed in the ground and go look the next morning, like, if I see anything, you know? When I'm at work, I think about plants. Right, where's it? I mean, I hope it's growing today, you know. When I'm laying down to sleep, I want to go transplant this pot from a different. And sometimes I get up and I go do it because I have that itch to go do it. I'm obsessed with doing it. I don't know why. I mean, with that being said, in order for these plants that I have planting, and this isn't a gardening class, so, but I'm going to use it as a part of the teaching. So these plants, a lot of them, if you look on the back of their labels, it'll tell you when to plant them, how to plant them, how far away, how deep, what's the temperature need to be. There's a lot of things that go into planting. There's a lot of things that go into growing fruit. It has to be the right temperature. It has to be the right climate. It has to be the right soil. Or else that fruit's not going to grow. Your plant is not going to grow. And if you do by somehow get that plant to grow, it's not going to bear fruit. And if it does bear fruit, it's going to be gross. It's not going to be tasty. And you're only going to get one fruit when that bush or that plant has the potential to hang 50 fruit off of it. You only got one stinky fruit on it, right? Because the climate wasn't right. And so forth. So what makes the climate right? How are we going to grow fruit, church? 24 and 25. Crucify your flesh with its passions and its desires. Pull out the weeds. Kill the weeds. Get that bug spray out. Because the weeds and the bugs, they'll tear up your plants and you won't get any fruit out of it. So the first one is to crucify. Reject yourself. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The second part is that we need to live in the Spirit, and we need to walk in the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, not in front of the Spirit, not behind the Spirit. How does someone keep in step with the Spirit? By these two things, obviously, and Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42 says that continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God. They continued in the word of God. In fellowship, they came to church when the doors were open. They hung out with other believers. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. These are how we're going to grow fruit, church. These are how we're going to not be able to walk in the flesh. Now, I'm standing here before you open and honest with you that And not only myself, you can ask anybody in here who's walked with the Lord for 40 to 50 years, they're still struggling with the flesh, and they can get in the flesh like that. So it's important that we maintain a proper cultivation of our soil of our heart, the Word of God in our heart, the Holy Spirit within us. The first thing is you need to have the Spirit. You need to have the Spirit of God. And apart from being born again, all we have is a dead spirit. Has the Holy Spirit taken up residence in you? That's not for me to know or anyone to know, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is telling you. If the Holy Spirit is not taking up residence with you, I would like to give you the chance today to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to ask for forgiveness, to accept Christ in your heart. Don't let that flesh hold you back. If that's you in here today, I would like you just to stand. You guys are all filled up with the Holy Spirit, huh? All right, praise God. I'm going to pray. Let me invite the worship team up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Help us to cultivate a relationship with you. Help us to speak with you, Lord, about the things that maybe we've already been speaking to ourselves about. But Lord, maybe we need to ask the Holy Spirit to take out the weeds. Ask us what needs to go and what needs to stay and who and where we need to be, Lord. Ordain our footsteps. Help us not to get ahead of you or not to lag behind, Lord. Help us to walk and talk and keep in mind the Holy Spirit and what you would have us do. In order to bear fruit, Lord, we need your Spirit. We ask, God, that your Spirit would just speak to us today. Fill us, God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.